This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, welcome to our series on the tafsir of Surah Az-Zumar. Alhamdulillah, let's continue on with our lessons. Alhamdulillah, Surah Az-Zumar, remember, it was revealed just before the first hijrah to the Habasha, alhamdulillah, and then thereafter, alhamdulillah, the context of the surah is made clear from that point onwards. So, a lot of persecution, a lot of hurt, a lot of harm, and Muslimin being exceptionally weak, and particularly the people that were asked to do Habasha were people who did not have anyone to defend them. A bit like the situation today, where the Muslim world is in disarray, where the Muslim world does not have anyone to defend them, no one takes their maslaha, and very few people are their friends, and the friends are not friends for friendship, friends are friends for resources in the Muslim world. So, alhamdulillah, this is a situation when we need to ponder upon the lessons in Surah Zumar. Last time we spoke about the importance of Tawheed and how Tawheed is the only thing for which we are who we are. If we didn't have Tawheed, we would not be Muslimin, we would not be who we are. What makes us different is that we believe in only one true Lord, and no one else in this dunya, no other religion ever believes like how we believe. So what we want to do now, inshallah ta'ala, is to continue on, inshallah. And today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to talk about our personal connection with Rabbana. Our ibadah, our salah, our taqwa, our haughtiness and pride that will stop us in our connecting with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the theme of our tafsir today, inshallah ta'ala. So let's get started. We are on verse number 6 of Surah Az-Zumar. So let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. He is the one who created you from one soul, from one human being only, and that is Adam alayhi salam. Thumma ja'ala minha zawjaha, and from that one human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created its mate, which is Hawa, our mother. Wa anzala lakum min al-an'ami thamaniyat azwaj, and it is He who has given to you from the an'am, from the cattle, thamaniya, 8 species, meaning 4 species, but male and female of them, so 8 in total. Which species is referred to here? And Allah Azza wa Jalla already explained that previously in other parts of the Quran. He mentioned the goat, He mentioned the sheep, He mentioned cows, and He mentioned camel. And the scholars of tafsir said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these 4 types of animals and the male and female species making up 8 in total, because these particular cattle have far more benefit than anything else. So what is Allah actually talking about here? Allah says, I created you from one human being, and then made the wife of that human being from that first one. Then sent you cattle. What is Allah saying here? Allah is enumerating His blessings upon us. He's enumerating the fact that not only did He create us, but He is also sustaining us. So creation is the mentioning of Adam, and sustaining is the mentioning of how Allah is providing rizq to us, which is the 8 types of cattle, or the 8 species of cattle, the 4 species with male and female from each. يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. He is the one who creates you in the bellies of your mothers. خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ. A type of creation that is different from the other creation before it. So first we were a clot of blood, then we became a chewed piece of flesh, then we became a being that looks like a human being. Then Allah Azza wa Jal gave us ruh. So all of this shows that therefore it's a khalq ba'da khalq. The clot of blood is not like the chewed of flesh. The chewed of flesh is not like the human being that looks like it has meat on it. So it's khalqan ba'da khalq. Each creation looking different. Fi dhulumatin thalath, in 3 different coverings. Scholars of tafsir and the Salaf al-Salih said that the 3 coverings that Allah says, dhulumatin thalath, 3 coverings, means first of all, the stomach. So that's the first covering. So that's the first tummy. The second covering is the womb, which is inside the tummy itself. So you've got the abdomen, and underneath the abdomen you've got the womb. The womb is the second covering. And then you've got the amniotic sac, which is the sac that actually covers the baby. And inside the sac is the amniotic fluid. So that is the third dhulumat. So three dhulumat, meaning three levels of darkness. Now the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions dhulumat has particular significance. Number one is that Allah azza wa jalla wants protection. So how do you protect something? Is that you hide something under different layers. The second thing is that when you want to have a good sleep, you want to be rested really well, you want to have more and more protection from sound, from light, from distraction, right? So this is why Allah says, "Zulumat," meaning that in darkness after darkness after darkness, which therefore shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is talking about how Allah is protecting this child and allowing it to nurture and nourish. The other thing about dhulumat and thalath shows Allah Azza wa Jalla's knowledge, that only Allah knows therefore what the true essence is. I mean, even if we try to look or use x-rays, we would not be able to do so. It's Allah who knows the true essence, because it's covered by three levels of covering. Just to show you how deep the knowledge would need to be of the reality of the situation. But only Allah knows it, even though it is protected by different layers of covering. This does not protect the child from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the awareness of Allah Azza wa Jalla about what He has created. So all of this should make us aware of the greatness of Rabbana, and also it should make us aware of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is deep inside our hearts. So if Allah knows what is inside the belly of the womb that has three levels of protection for it, imagine the hearts of men who even might have the hardest of hearts and the biggest of chests. Allah knows definitely what's inside it. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. That is your Lord, Allah. That is Allah, your Lord. Meaning, that is Allah, the one who created you, the one who sustains you, and the one who nourishes and looks after you, and who knows everything about you. That is your Lord. رَبُّكُمْ, your Lord. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. For Him is the dominion. Meaning, for Him is the ability to do everything, and for Him is the ability to control all His creation. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There is no deity worthy of worship except Him. And so the kalima of the Tawheed contains negation and affirmation. La ilah, there's a negation. And then illahu is the affirmation, except Him. And that is how you perfectly show your Tawheed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Negation, then affirmation. A bit like saying to your wife, "I love you," is not as good as "I don't love anyone but you." Meaning negating my love from anyone else and then specifying my love only for this one particular human being. فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. So where are you going? What are you doing with your life? Meaning, if this is your Lord, the one who created you, the one who nourishes you, and then the one who creates you in every level of protection and knows everything about you, أَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. What's wrong with you? What do you mean, what's wrong with you? Meaning, the whole essence of the Qur'an is that Allah talks about His rububiyyah, which is His creation and His sustenance of creation. And through that, He expects us to worship Him, ubudiyyah. So His rububiyyah leads to His uluhiyyah, right? And that's the whole argument of the Qur'an. The argument of the Qur'an is, if you know Allah created you, if you know He looks after you, cherishes you, nourishes you, answers your dua, why is it therefore that you don't worship Him? Why do you worship someone else when you know He is the one, right? That's why Allah says, فَأَنَّ تُصْرَفُونَ. Where are you going? What are you doing? وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ. And know this, that despite this knowledge, if you disbelieve, in takfuru, if you disbelieve, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ. No, Allah is free of all need. He doesn't need you. He only wants you to worship Him for your own good. But He Himself does not need your worship, doesn't increase in power, doesn't increase in dominion because of your disobedience to Him. And that's why in one authentic narration it's reported that if the first and the last of you all decided to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, right, totally disobey Allah, this would not decrease from His dominion at all. This would not decrease from the dominion, kingdom, ability, power, might of Allah Azza wa Jal at all. وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنْكُمْ. Know that Allah is rich, and ghani means He is free of you. He is wealthy, He has others. He has other ability. He has abilities that make up for any perceived loss. And this, what you think is a perceived loss, is not actually a loss at all to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرِ. And He does not desire for His slave kufr, right? وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. But if you thank him, he desires that for you. So here, in these verses, it shows that therefore Allah has two types of irada, two types of desires. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرِ He does not, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ If you disobey Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jal is free of you. So therefore your disobedience to Allah is by the first irada. Yeah, first will of Allah. The second will of Allah is وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرِ وَإِن تَشْكُرُ يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ He does not desire for his slaves to disbelieve him. And if you believe in him and thank him, he wants that for you. Right? So there's two types of will of Allah in this verse. The first will of Allah is by which shaitan exists, is by which kufr exists on this earth. That is the first will of Allah. The second will of Allah is the will by which he desires good. And that is the difference between Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah and the Qadariyah. The Qadariyah are people who did not believe in Qadr. And they said Allah has only one will. Allah has only one will. Whereas Ahlus Sunnah said, no, Allah has two wills. The first will, everything that is. But the second will is only what Allah wants. Right? So, the shaitan becoming a disbeliever is by the first will of Allah. But the shaitan wanting to become a believer, then that is by the second will of Allah. Okay? A non-Muslim remaining a disbeliever, that is by the first will of Allah. But a non-Muslim accepting Islam, that is by the second will of Allah. So remember, Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah have two wills of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Ahlul Bid'ah and Khurafat, they believe Allah has one will. And thinking that Allah has one will led them into destruction. Right? Because the Qadariyah are people who say there is no Qadr. Why do they say that? Because they said Allah has only one will. So therefore, we see that evil exists on this earth. But Allah cannot will evil because Allah is good. Therefore, evil exists without the will of Allah because Allah can only will good. So therefore, if evil exists without the will of Allah, that means so can good exist without the will of Allah. And that's why they say there's no qadr. Did you see how one simple problem led them into disbelief and led them into destruction? That is why, brothers and sisters in Islam, the Qur'an, you must approach it upon the correct aqidah. And understanding. Otherwise, you will be misled when you read the verses. You'll misunderstand. And subhanAllah, it can really happen to anyone. That's why I take the tafsir with a trusted teacher and with a trusted tafsir, alhamdulillah, from Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, so that inshallah ta'ala, you know exactly how to understand the verses. In takfuru fa inna Allah ghaniyun ankum. Meaning, if you disbelieve by the first will of Allah, then that is Allah giving you the choice to make that choice. And then know this, that Allah is free of you. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرِ And the second will of Allah is that He does not wish for His slaves' disbelief. وَإِنْ تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ But if you thank Allah, then He wants that for you. So therefore, the opposite of kufr is shukr. Opposite of kufr is shukr, right? So kufr is to disbelieve. And shukr is therefore belief plus thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. Shukr entails three things. Shukr means three things. It is hamd, praise, plus giving back something to Allah. So shukr equals to praising Allah plus giving back something to Allah. So therefore shukr includes three things. Number one is thank you Allah. Number two is everyone, Allah gave me so much. So you're telling everyone about Allah. Third thing is Allah, I'm going to give something back to you. I'm going to memorize Quran for you. I'm going to slaughter a sheep for you. I'm going to give sadaqah for you. I'm going to build a masjid for you. I'm going to look after orphans for you. So therefore shukr entails three things. Number one is thanking Allah directly. Number two is telling others about Allah's blessings upon you. And number three is giving something back to Allah. Yeah? Which is your life, your money, your time, your children. Yeah? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى And no one shall be made to bear the wizr, which is a sin or burden, of anyone else. No one will be made to bear the sin and burden of anyone else. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ And then to your Lord will be your return. فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ Then He will inform you بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ About what you used to do. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ He is aware of what is in the hearts. So here is an appeal to Allah Azza wa Jalla's appeal to us. To watch out for what we do. We are not going to be responsible for other people's sins. I'm not going to be responsible for my father's sins. I'm not responsible for your sins. But I'm responsible for myself. So therefore, every person should look towards himself. This verse, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, should not make us focus on other people's problems. Today, we focus too much on other people's problems and too less on our issues. Remember, we will have to carry our own burden. So let's focus on ourselves. Today, we'll sit down, we talk about, you know that brother? He would be really good except that he does ghiba and he does namima and he doesn't memorize the Quran and he doesn't give sadaqah. We talk about others. We should be talking about ourselves. We should be talking about our own problems, checking our own selves. In fact, it was reported in a narration that Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was walking with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then at one point a wall came in between Anas and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Umar started walking this side, Anas started walking the other side. And so Umar thought there was no one else, could not hear him as they were walking past. So Umar said to himself, and Anas heard it. Umar thought he couldn't hear because there was a wall. But Anas heard Umar saying to himself, he said, Ya Umar, لَتَتَّقِنَّ اللَّهِ أَوْ لَيُعَذِّبُكَ اللَّهِ. And Ya Umar, you must fear Allah or Allah will punish you. So this is self-muhasabah, taking yourself to account. And that is why people who are righteousness and taqwa, when they read that verse, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وَزْرَ أُخْرَى, no one will bear the sin of someone else. This makes them feel more self-accountable and look into themselves only and worry about their own sins. And that's why the muttaqi, the person who is pious, is the one who thinks Allah has forgiven everyone else but him. Everyone else, when he looks at everyone else, subhanAllah, look how young he is, so therefore how less sin he has. And he looks at someone older and says, MashaAllah, how much more good deeds has he done more than me? He always looks at people lesser than him, and he looks at people other than him, and looks for the good in them and the bad in him. And he looks at other people, as Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, a muttaqi is someone who looks at others and says, MashaAllah, Allah has forgiven them all, but me, subhanAllah, Allah has yet to forgive. So therefore, this is the way you should deal with this verse. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وَزْرَ أُخْرَى, mean I should be worried about my own sins in my own self. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then know that Allah is most aware of what's in your hearts. Allah will tell you about what you used to do, so you can't hide. Meaning, the only way you can address this problem is to come to Allah free, naked, truthful. Yeah, come to Allah truthful. Yeah, and you don't hide anything because you cannot. Because Allah will tell you, Allah knows exactly what's in your hearts and He will tell you about it. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ. Now Allah tells about the nature of human beings and how the nature of human beings is that they forget the blessings of Allah. Despite all of these blessings Allah has mentioned, insan forgets it. So وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَى رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ. So when insan, massa, when he's touched by durrun, meaning a harm, da'a rabbahu, he calls upon his Lord, muniban ilayhi, being attentive to him. You are sick, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you don't have money, you call upon Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Then Allah says, thumma idha khawwalahu ni'matan minhu, nasiya ma kana yadu'u ilayhi min qabl. Then when he, meaning Allah, turns his situation of evil and harm into one of good, then he forgets me. What is wrong, brothers and sisters? What is Allah telling us? Allah is telling us that we are people who have too much hope. We are people who worship Allah through hope more than we do it through fear. Here Allah is trying to realign our ubudiyah. He is saying, do not do that. Don't just remember me in times of need and forget me in times of luxury. Rather, remember me in times of luxury as well. But how do you remember me in times of luxury? By thanking me for the luxury and being afraid that I might take the luxury away. So here Allah is saying that Allah needs to be worshipped and remembered at all times, in times of difficulty and in times of need. Whereas people, insan, the typical human being, he only remembers Allah at one point in time, forgets Allah at other times. And that's the reason why Allah gives us hardship. Because at the end of the day, we would forget Allah if we didn't. And we would not have the chapter of sabr, and the chapter of shukur, and the chapter of tawakkul, had we not had all the difficulties and trials and tribulations. That's what Al-Ghazali says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people sins, so that He may make them repent, and so that He may remove their haughtiness and pride. Otherwise, if Allah did not give people sins, then at the end of the day, people would be proud and haughty and think that they are untouchable, right? They are so righteous and proud. They're like, you know, angels. They don't sin. You know what I'm saying? So in order for not that to happen, Allah gives us sin, and Allah gives us difficulty. He gives us difficulty so that we remember Allah's blessings, and so that we have shukr. And Allah gives us sins so that we feel penitent, and so that we have sabr at the time of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So this is very important. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَى رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ وَإِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً. And when he turns him into ni'mah, نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. He forgets what he used to call upon Allah in the beginning. He forgets his difficulty and he remembers only ease. Meaning that, as Ibn Qayyim says, imagine a person is like a bird and one wing is hope, the other one is fear. So you must, in order to fly, you must beat the wings of hope and fear at the same time. If you only beat the wings of fear and not hope, can you imagine a bird that only beats one wing? He will veer off, right? And if he beats only one wing, which is only hope, he will get astray. And if he only beats the wing of fear, then he'll also become astray. You'll become extreme. So you see, this is the problem. You should always balance your life with the opposite emotion. So at times of distress, which is difficulty and trouble and sickness and disease and thirst and Ramadan, fill your heart with hope. But in times of ease, which is day of Eid, day of blessings, day of food, day of luxury, fill your hearts with fear. That's how you balance. Yeah, and that's why the Sahaba, most of the time they worship Allah with fear of Allah more than they did with hope of Allah. Why? Because most of the time Allah, we are in blessings. Look at your own life. How many times has Allah given you death in your family? Not every day. Once, and then 10 years go past, 20 years go past, no one dies in your family. Then Allah gives death again, right? So Allah Rabbana is latifun bil ibad. He is so merciful with us. He doesn't give us niqam and difficulties every day. He gives us only certain portions. But all other times, we are in luxury, we are in blessings, we are in wealth and health and happiness. So therefore, the times we are in wealth and health and happiness, we should balance it with fear in our hearts. And the times when we are in difficulty, we should balance it with hope in our hearts. And that's why majority of the Quran tells us to have taqwa. Taqwa is fear of Allah. Why? Because most of the time we are in blessings. Right? Is that making sense, hopefully, inshallah? Because we should be balancing our situation with the opposite emotion. Balancing situation of ease with fear of Allah in the hearts, and vice versa. Alhamdulillah. قُلْ تَمَتَّعُوا بِكُفْرِكَ قَلِيلًا. Where are we? نعم. وَإِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً نَسْيَ مَا كَانَ يَدْعُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَجَعَلَ لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And on top of that, he forgets Allah so much so, he goes so far away that he even now starts attributing other gods to Allah. Why? Because he becomes impatient. He's in luxury, but he wants more. So what does he do? He calls upon Allah. Allah doesn't answer to him straight away because he's already in luxury. What does he do? Therefore he calls upon someone else because he thinks Allah is not sympathetic to his dua. So he calls upon Jesus Christ. He calls upon Peer Sab. He calls upon his family. He calls upon Panadol when he's in sick, rather than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sets up other gods other than Allah. What does Allah say in response to him? قُلْ تَمَتَّعُوا بِكُفْرِكَ قَلِيلًا إِنَّكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. So you should know that Allah gives you the warning. قُلْ, say it to him, O people, تَمَتَّعُوا بِكُفْرِكَ قَلِيلًا. Be enjoyable in your disbelief for a little bit of time. إِنَّكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. You're going to go to Jahannam. Meaning that if we lead our life like this, where we forget Allah at times of ease and we only remember Him times of difficulty, then we might actually be from the disbelievers. Because we don't really believe Allah, we don't really thank Him. Because you must remember Allah in times of ease with shukr and with fear. And if you're not going to do that, then that means we've forgotten Him, and that could be the door of kufr. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَا اللَّيْلِ. Amman, take the example of the one who are qanitun, that he is the one who is qanit. Qanit meaning worshipping me, right? Qanitun ana al-layli, sajidan wa qa'ima. And qunut is actually a type of dua. Qanit, therefore, is the one who's fervently connecting with me, fervently making dua with me in his salah, qiyam al-layl, in his dhikr at night. So Allah now gives the example of someone who acts upon his knowledge and therefore worships Allah. So he says, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَا اللَّيْلِ. ساجدا وقائما يحذر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربي, is the one who is standing up the depths of the night. Ana al-layli, sajidan wa qa'ima, he's prostrating and he is standing, meaning he's doing his qiyam al-layl. Yahdharul akhirah, he's doing it because he is worried about the akhirah. Wa yarju rahmata rabbi, and he is seeking the mercy of Allah. Qul hal yastawi alladhina ya'lamuna walladhina la ya'lamun. Say, hal yastawi, yastawi mean are they equal? Who are equal? Alladhina ya'lamun, those who know, and those who don't know. Are they ever equal? Meaning, those who know, that's how they behave. Those who know, they are the ones who are standing up the nights begging Allah and making dua for Jannah. Are they equal to those who are sleeping their nights and not even worried about Allah? Can they ever be equal? لا يستوون, they can never be equal. هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. It is only the people will ulu, mean the ones who have albab, meaning sense and logic and heart. They are the ones who truly ponder and understand. So, ikhwati, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, if you have knowledge, this must lead to action. If you have fear of Allah and iman in your heart, this must lead to salah. This must lead to connecting with Allah Azza wa Jal. And the best of connections is qiyam al-layl with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about why are we not connecting to Him? Is it because we truly don't believe, or is it because we're lazy? Whichever it is, then know that that is a sign of weak iman. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. See, so Allah says, oh my slaves, say, oh my slaves, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe in me, اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ, fear your Lord. So see, Allah talks about fear of Allah, fear of Allah. And that's why Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he says, جِمَاءُ الْخَيْرِ كُلُّهَا فِي تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. All of goodness can be summarized in the fear of Allah. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. For those who do good in this world is hasana, is good. وَلِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. For those who do good in this world will be hasana. You will be treated as you are. وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. And Allah's earth is wide. How do you understand this? What is the meaning of Allah mentioning Allah's earth is wide? So here, it's about the persecution. Take yourself back to the context of the persecution that believers are in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, connect with me, believe in me, give shukr to me, and remember to pray at the depths of night. And because you have knowledge, that is what is going to give you strength. And remember, O my ibad, O my slaves, fear me only. Do not fear the enemies of God. If you do good in this world, meaning you stay firm despite the fact that all of the Quraysh are trying to force you to leave Islam, then know for you will be good in the Akhirah. And if you cannot, or you're too burdened, then know Ardullahi Wasi'a, the first verse that allowed the believers to do Hijrah. Yeah, Ardullahi Wasi'a means know that Allah's earth is wide, meaning that know that if you cannot worship me in this place, know that my earth is wide, you will be able to worship me somewhere else. So therefore, this is a verse that shows that believers must constantly seek a better place to raise themselves. If you are in one place, seek out another place to be where you can do more deeds, more good deeds, better, inshallah. Where, why are you staying in an evil place? You're not forced to. Allah will look after you if you go. Stop thinking it's your job that is looking after you. It is Allah who gives money to your company to look after you, right? Stop thinking it's your boss that's looking after you. It's not. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking after you. So make sure, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, that you understand Ardullahi wasi'a means herein is an injunction for you to do hijrah. If you cannot worship Allah in one place, you must move yourself to another place where you can worship Allah. Today, what are the causes for which people make hijrah? People make hijrah for marriage, because you know you're getting married to a sister in Toronto in Canada, you might be in England, and as a result you do hijrah to Canada. I mean, that's one of the reasons. Another reason is economic purpose. We might be in Bangladesh, we move to America. Why? Because we want economic prosperity. But what about moving for the sake of deen? Have you considered moving for the sake of deen? How few are the people who move for the sake of the deen? And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has has considered it a big thing to move for the deen. In fact, he's even made one of the 8 types of zakat that can be given. It's for the person who is the wayfarer, Ibn Sabil, meaning Allah has made it a way for people to travel in His cause and to do hijrah in His cause. So Ardullahi Wasi'a is Allah telling you that you should therefore, if you cannot worship Allah in one place adequately, you should move to another place. Alhamdulillah. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily, the people will be given their ajr according to the level of their sabr. And the people who have sabr, then they will be given their ajr بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ without any accounting. In the authentic narration, it was reported from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that on the day of judgment, when Allah wants to reward people, Allah will look at the deeds, and according to the deeds, Allah will give you ajr. So you've done X amount, therefore you deserve 10 times to 700 times, Allah gives it to you. Whereas for the ones who had sabr, you had sabr, subhanallah, ajr, no stop, ajr, bighayri hisab, because only Allah knows how much sabr a person needs to have. The sisters in Islam that are undergoing persecution, my brothers and sisters in the refugee camps, my brothers and sisters in languishing in the prisons worldwide, my brothers and sisters who are languishing in Guantanamo Bay, only Allah knows the ajr that they're going to have. In fact, it is for this reason, because of this verse, that some of the scholars of tafsir said that on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards people for the reward that they will get, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the people for the sabr that they had in this dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them. At that point, other people who did not have sabr or did not go through those trials and tribulations would wish that their skin and their bones were torn from their limbs. They would wish that their skin was torn from their limbs, because they wish that that this would have happened to them, you know, subhanAllah, because of the ajr that they are getting. Oh Allah, afriqanayna sabra. We should never ever, because of this verse, we should not say, oh Allah, therefore test me. Oh Allah, give me a test. No, never ask Allah for that. But Allah will give you a test. Allah will give you the test that is appropriate for you. And then you have to have sabr upon that. So, ikhwati, my brothers, my sisters, Islam, when you have a chance for sabr, enjoy it. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure you've gone through this, I go through this sometimes. Sometimes, you know, when you're in the da'wah, in life in general, sometimes you don't have any money because of cash flow problems, not because of anything else or overspending or whatever. Cash flow problems, you know, especially like Ramadan becomes a cash flow problem time. So sometimes I tell my wife comes to me saying, can we have some money? I say, I don't have anything in my account. So I tell her, you know what, enjoy the ride. It's only going to last for a while. Rabbana is so kareem. He's not going to keep us in need for too long, right? So enjoy this difficulty. Enjoy this difficulty that we're in for a little bit of time. I remember I work in the hospital. I'm an emergency doctor. And once our hospital was very late in paying. And I remember for almost 2 to 3 weeks, we had no money. And you know what? I felt like, you know what? I'm going to stick up with it. Not going to ask anyone, not take a loan for now, right? Even though I don't have much wealth at home and my children are probably going to not even have bread to eat. And you know what? Those are the days that we love. Those are the days we really enjoyed. Because that's when the hearts are closer to Allah. That's when we remember Allah more. Same way, sisters, my brothers in Islam, let's take the topic of possession. How many brothers and sisters in the Muslim world are possessed today? How difficult is their life because of the evil of black magic and possession? How much hurt and harm do they go through? But subhanAllah, have you also noticed how close you are with Allah? How much dua you're making? How much dhikr you're making? How much sabr you're having? Do you know that Allah knows your plight and Allah will give you that sabr? And that's why, you know, the statement of the Arabs, they say, Sabra Ayyub. Because Ayyub alayhi salam was a prophet, was a man who had so much wealth, and he had tens of children. Some said he had 30 kids. And he had so much wealth, and he had 500 people working for him in his plantation crops. Then overnight, Allah Azzawajal sent lightning from the sky, destroyed his crops. Overnight, his children died because the roof fell on his kids and they all passed away. Overnight, Ayyub alayhi salam was hurt with a skin disease and people left him. So the people thought, oh my God, Ayyub must be very evil. That's why Allah is punishing him. Killed all his children, destroyed his family, and destroyed all his wealth. But you see, that's the difficulty of the people. People think punishment or trials and tribulations are a punishment. They're not. It could be that Allah wants good for the people of Syria. That's why Allah gave them this trouble. Could be Allah wants to make them into mujahideen and to Allah wants them to die as shaheed. That's why Allah is giving them that thing. Don't you think that this is more their, perhaps their reward from Allah rather than a punishment? Could be that, you know. And so ya khuti, yani Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, then for many, many years he was in difficulty. But never once was he angry with Allah. Never once did he was he unhappy with Allah. And he simply thanked Allah for everything that was given. And then afterwards, after he thanked Allah enough, then what happened was Allah decided to give him back his health. So Allah said, hit with your leg on the ground. Water came out. From the water he washed himself. He was purified. Then he regained his youth. Allah gave him back his youth. His children were resurrected. His crops came back. And his beautiful wife Sarah, alhamdulillah, returned back to him. So, ikhwati, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, the lesson of sabr was from the story of Ayyub. Allah teaches us, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah gave him double the family, by the way, and double the wealth after his sabr. And in the akhirah, can you imagine, he will be from the blessed ones because of his sabr. So, are you going to have sabr with Allah? Are you going to have patience? Because Allah will give you أجرا بغير حساب. قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين. Say, I have been ordered to worship Allah, making the religion sincerely for Him. Again, Allah comes back to sabr, to sincerity, because that is what the deen is all about. Deen is about sabr, is about sincerity to Allah. It is about tawakkul and sabr, and at the ra's and at the head of the deen is your ikhlas, your sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And I've been ordered to be the first of the Muslimin. Amazing verse. First, the lesson on ikhlas, and we've already spoken about it. In our first lesson, we spoke extensive length about ikhlas. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I've been ordered to be first of the believers. Shows that we should be competing with one another to worship Allah. And that's why I still remember when I used to be at the back ends of the masjid with the Prophet ﷺ. As soon as the iqamah would happen, our sheikh and the other students who were in the class, we would be competing with each other to walk faster, not running, because you know, shouldn't run in salah, but competing with one another to fill up the first rows, because the first rows have more ajr, right? So this shows, therefore, that we shouldn't actually prefer others over ourselves in worshipping Allah. Rather, we should be the first to worship Allah. It's a bit like, you know, sometimes when you stand in a line for salah and says, you know, brother, you take it. No, brother, you take it. No, brother, you take it. No, brother, you take it. I mean, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You should be the first one to jump in before your brother. And no, this is not bad. This is not arrogance. This is not jealousy or pride or not giving. You know, we in ibadah, there is no preferring others over us. In money, dunya, yes. Dunya, akhi, you have my food. You eat it, no problem. But worshipping Allah, no one should beat you in it. And that's why Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, used to say, if someone competes you in the dunya, then let him win. Let him win. But if someone competes you in the akhirah, then don't let anyone win but you. That's what Hasan al-Basri used to say, yeah? And that's the spirit of competition. Wali an akuna awwal al muslimin. Everyone should be the first to race to Allah. And that's why Allah uses the word sabiqu, meaning compete with one another for the akhirah. That's why Umar used to compete with the other sahaba. That's why Umar would compete with Abu Bakr. We have to revive the spirit of competition. We have to revive the spirit of competition. You should be competing with me. I should be competing with you. I should be doing more da'wah because I want to have more ajr. I should be reciting more Qur'an because I want to have more ajr. And this is the way we should be, guys. Yeah, awwal al-muslimin. Also this verse, wali anakun awwal al-muslimin, means that we should aim higher. We should aim higher. We shouldn't be people who aim to be the last of the believers, but the first of the believers. We should always aim to be higher and aim higher, right? That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, when you ask Allah for Jannah, don't ask Allah for any Jannah, ask Allah for Al-Firdaus, for that is the highest of Jannah, right? That's why they say, aim for the stars, aim for the highest thing. So aim for biggest thing. And that's why, ikhwati, in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches believers to have ulul himma. Ulul himma meaning highness of aspiration. Why do you think that I'm going to only look after 10 orphans? No, inshallah, look after 20 orphans, 50 orphans, 100 orphans. Aim high. Because when you aim high and you're truthful, Allah will make it happen. And wallahi, I notice this in my life. When you have a bigger aim, bigger aspiration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it work for you. When we have a lower aspiration, Allah will make, you know, lower results work for you. So you have to aim high, brothers and sisters. Yeah? Awwal muslimin, first of the believers. First of the believers.
قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ.
Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am afraid. This is me, meaning Allah's Messenger is afraid. That إِنِّي أَخَافُ, I am afraid. إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي, if I disobey Allah in what He has asked me to do, عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, a terrible fire on the Day of Judgment. So this is why, if the Prophet of God does not have guarantee of Allah's protection if he disobeys Allah, what guarantee do we have, brothers and sisters? If the Prophet of God has been told to say, I am afraid of Allah, punishment from Allah's punishment if I disobey, what about us? Brothers and sisters, we don't have any guarantee. We don't have any guarantee at all. And that is why, wallahi, spend your time with tawbah, spend your time with ibadah, spend your time doing good deeds. Every opportunity for good, don't let go. Every opportunity for khair, don't let go. Okay.
قُلِ اللَّهَ أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِ.
Again, Allah emphasizes. Fourth time in just 14 verses. Fourth time, Allah says, قُلْ, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اللَّهَ أَعْبُدُ, Allah is the only one that I worship. مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, making the religion sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Four times? Yani this is how important the message of sincerity is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sincerity is the only reason why this dunya has been created, for Allah, for His worship. And everything else will be destroyed except that which is for Allah. And that is why, remember, Imam Malik rahimahullah, was reported that when he wrote his Muwatta of Imam Malik, 80 other scholars also wrote their Muwatta as well. They called it Muwatta of so-and-so scholar, so-and-so scholar. So the students of Imam Malik rahimahullah came to Imam Malik and said, Ya Shaykh, you wrote the book called Al-Muwatta and 80 other scholars wrote Al-Muwatta as well. So Imam Malik said, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ سَيَبْقَى وَمَا كَانَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ يَزُولُ. That which is for Allah will remain, that which is not for Allah will be destroyed. But destroyed, even though that was Quran Hadith. Even though it's Quran Hadith, Allah will destroy. Do you understand? Even though it's your Salah, Zakat, Hajj, Umrah, any masjid you built and Quran you printed, Allah will destroy it. Why? Because you didn't do it with ikhlas. You didn't do it with ikhlas. And that's why you could have prayed, you could have given sadaqah. Through the sadaqah you looked after orphans, Allah may not accept it. Why? Because you didn't do it with ikhlas. You could have built a masjid, but Allah would not accept the masjid and let it destroy itself. Why? Because you didn't do it with ikhlas. You could have written a book filled with hadith and ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal, still Allah will let the book burn and destroy. Why? Because you didn't do it with ikhlas. Brothers and sisters, the topic of ikhlas cannot be re-emphasized enough. And Allah Azza wa Jal, in 14 verses, Allah mentions ikhlas four times, subhanAllah. فَأَعْبُدُوا مَا شِئْتُم مِّن دُونِهِ. So, if you wish, worship anyone else other than Him. Yeah? Make deen sincerely for Him, and if you don't, then worship anyone else. This is your choice. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them, إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ, those who are bankrupt, those who are destroyed and lost. الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. They are the ones who will not only lose themselves, they will lose their families. Meaning, brothers and sisters in Islam, if you die as a disbeliever, if you die as a sinner and Allah sends you to Jahannam, you will lose your family. You will not have your family, your little baby daughter, your little baby son, your wife that you love, your father and mother, your brothers that you love, you will not have them. Yani on top of the fact that you will be in Jahannam in punishment, the anguish of the heart is that you will not be able to see your children forever. Can you imagine that? Whereas in Jannah, the blessings of Jannah is not only the pure physical and spiritual pleasure you're going to receive to your body and your soul, but also the fact that you will have your family with you. Oof, Ya Rab. You know, my pleasure is not complete until I am with my family. Like if I go for holiday, it's not the same. Unless I take my little Yusuf and Zainab and Maryam and Aisha and
you know, Ibrahim and Asiya and Khadija, all my seven kids, you know, unless I take them all with me, my pleasure is not complete, wallahi. And that's why, can you imagine the anguish of the people of Jahannam, that they will not only lose themselves into the fire, they will lose their families. So look at Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْقُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Verily the losers. الَّذِينَ are those, الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا, those who have lost, أَنفُسَهُمْ themselves, وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and their families on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Is not this, هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ, the real loss. Is this not the real loss? What else could be the real loss, brothers and sisters? This is the real loss, wallahi. This is the real loss, wallahi. Subhanallah, you know, sometimes I look at my children and I look at my little baby, Asiya and Khadija, and then I say, Subhanallah, Ya Rabbi, don't make me away from them. Don't take me away from them. Ya Rabbi, you didn't give them to me to do that, Ya Allah. Give them to me. Let me be with them in Jannah. That's why I want to be righteous, because I want to be with them in Jannah. That's why I have to pray and I have to fast. You have to pray and fast, brothers and sisters, because you got to be with Allah Azza wa Jal. You got to be with your families in Jannah. So look at your children, look at your families, and know this verse shows that if you enter Jahannam, your greatest loss will not be your punishment. The greatest loss will be you will lose your families. Ala dhalika huwa al-khusranul mubin. Is not that the greatest, the worst of losses? Lahum min fawqihim ghudulalum minan nar. For them, above them will be dhulal, will be coverings of fire. Dhulalum minan nar. Wa min tahtihim dhulal. And underneath them will be covering of fire. That's why they will not be able to see, because they're fully surrounded, up, down, left, right. Ghurafum min fawqiha ghuraf. Yani the fire on top of fire. They'll be surrounded, up, down, totally surrounded by fire. Lahum min fawqihim dhulal. Upon them will be dhulal, a covering, meaning the smoke of fire. Wa min tahtihim dhulal, and underneath them will be the dhulal, will be the covering. Dhalika yukhawwifu Allahu bihi ibada. And it is this that Allah makes His slaves afraid of. Ya ibadi fattaqoon. So my slaves, be afraid of my fire. Ya Allah, Allahumma, forgive us. Allahumma, save us from Jahannam. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. وَالَّذِينَ اجْتَنَبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. As for those who stay away, اجْتَنَبُوا, those who stay away from طَاغُوت. What is طَاغُوت? طَاغُوت is every leader of evil, every caller to evil, every marker of evil, every sign of evil. That's the طَاغُوت, right? So, a idol is a طَاغُوت. Our desires that take us away from Allah is a طَاغُوت. A caller to haram is a طَاغُوت. A caller to innovation is a طَاغُوت. A caller to disbelief is tawhid, right? So these are all tawagit. Tawagit is a plural of tawhid. So alladhina ijtanabu tawhid, and those who therefore stay away from all of this evil, ay ya'buduha, from worshipping them, wa anabu ila Allah. Anaba is to return back to Allah, meaning they go away from the tawhid and they return back to Allah, meaning they are penitent, repentant, because they went to the taghut either to worship them, which is great kufr, if not to worship them, at least to listen to them, which is sins. Like Adam a.s. listened to the big taghut, which is shaitan. So Allah says, وَأَنَابُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَىٰ, and they return back to Allah. For them is glad tidings. For them is glad tidings. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادٍ. So give glad tidings to my slaves, those who take away, go away from the taghut and come back to me. Alladhina yastami'un al-qawla, those who listen to the speech. What speech? The Quran, the Sunnah, the speech that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal and the prophets of God. Fayattabi'una ahsana, and they follow the best of it. Yaqulu Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in the tafsir of this verse, they are the ones who hear all types of speech. They hear Quran and Sunnah and good speech, but they also hear the evil. And so this is what Allah says. Allah says that the ibad are not those people who are yani immature. They don't know about kufr and shirk and tawheed. No. They are people who are mature. They've heard about kufr and shirk and batil and haram and fasad, But they also know Tawheed and Islam and Quran and Sunnah. And they have decided to follow the Quran and Sunnah and Tawheed and Islam rather than the Kufr and the Fasad and the Fitna. Does that make sense? Right? And that is how the believers should be. That they have heard both sides, but they have decided consciously to follow the good. They have consciously decided to follow that which is good. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ They are the ones who hear the wrongs or all the different types of speech. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ And so they follow the best of the speech, which is the Qur'an and the Sunnah. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ They are the ones who Allah has guided. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ And they are the ones who have the possessor, or they are the possessors of logic and sense. Zakumullah khair, my brothers, my sisters in Islam. Walhamdulillah, Allah blessed us to take 18 verses of Surah Zumar, inshaAllah. When we come back, we will talk about the rest of the Surah, inshaAllah ta'ala, and carrying on our lessons. Walhamdulillah, today we took lots of lessons about us connecting with Allah, about us remembering sincerity, about us acting upon the word that we, upon the knowledge that we have, about us remember the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then using that as an encouragement to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about us remembering Allah not only in times of difficulty, but also in times of ease, and that is the majority of the time. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed it, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Until tomorrow. See you then.